Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. And I am Kate Romero, and I have on the line with me here Dr. Harry Morgan Moses, who is, in my opinion, a living luminary. And he is the interim minister over at Spirit Works, and that's in Toluca Lake, California. The website for that is www.spiritworkscenter.com, and they're located at 260 North Pass Avenue in Burbank, California, 91505. So check in with Spirit Works and see what's going on there. And you can also listen to their archives so you never miss a Sunday service. Even if you can't show up, you can still find out what's going on. So I'm going to introduce Dr. Harry Morgan Moses and then give you a bit of his bio. Dr. Harry, are you there?
I am here. Nice.
Hello.
To be with you, Kate.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. This
My
is
honor.
Very, very exciting. And I'm just going to give the listeners a bit of your bio now. Dr. Harry Morgan Moses is DD, that's Doctor of Divinity, correct?
Yes.
Is the founder of New Thought Center of San Diego, where he served as the senior minister for over 10 years. He co-founded the affiliated New Thought Network, ANTN, and served as its president for 5 years. He also was the head spiritual advisor and co-founder for New Thought Ministries in Oregon. In September of 1999, Dr. Moses joined a select group of distinguished leaders for dialogue with the Dalai Lama in the Synthesis Project as His Holiness residence in Dharamsala, India. He continues to serve on their advisory council for the Association of Global New Thought, AGNT, spiritual director. Harry is an author, principal speaker, and wisdom teacher who is sought throughout the nation and beyond, and I can attest to that. And I am the proud owner of one of your books, at least one of your books.
There you go.
Yeah. How many books have you written, Dr. Harry?
Well, I've actually written three, but only one has been published. And largely because the other ones, I wasn't happy with them when they were finished.
I see. So there's still work to be done.
The challenge with being involved in consciousness work is that if you're paying attention, your consciousness keeps changing.
That's
you find that what you once thought was the highest level to offer gets usurped by higher levels.
Yep.
Hopefully, if you're working the right way, anyway.
Exactly. And the most important thing when spirit is moving through you is be flexible.
That's correct. Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. So I want to talk about, because this is Spiritual Hollywood, this is very, very exciting to have you on the show, because you've done some acting work yourself, have you not?
Yeah, I grew up in the industry. My mother was a working actress during the time I was young, and I was a working child actor and continued to work into my adult life.
That's so interesting. And the latest thing you've done is something you can tell us about?
Oh, you talk about there's a couple of films out there. You mentioned earlier the film, the journey to India with the Dalai Lama.
Right.
And there's a film coming out called The Dalai Lama Renaissance, which is really a documentary with Overton Harrison Ford as the narrator.
Oh, my gosh, that's fabulous.
And that film will be coming out. And that was an extraordinary journey for those of us who were on it. And it was an opening in time and space for the Dalai Lama's popularity as a global figure. And it's been going on ever since, hence they named that Dalai Lama Renaissance. So
that's
I'm looking
wonderful.
Forward to seeing that. I'm in touch with the filmmakers, and they've got very positive response about the screening, but I have not had the opportunity to see it. And then there's another film another artist that you know named Sean Mulville.
Yes.
And that's called The Serious Business of Happiness.
Yes.
And that really is... It's about Sean as a young man on a journey, having discovered spiritual principles and trying to integrate how it is to be young and passionate and alive and spiritual all at the same time. And he goes on a quest, speaking to many, many enlightened souls on the planet, which they have since named, as you had mentioned, living luminaries.
Right.
And if we are luminous, that remains for everyone to determine for themselves. but there are certainly some wise souls who share with Sean, and that I've seen parts of that. Again, I have not had the opportunity to see the whole film.
Right. And some of the people who are involved in that are Eckhart Tolle, The Power of Now.
Correct.
Mary Mann and Morrissey, your good buddy.
Yes.
And was Terrence Whitaker involved in that at all?
What's that?
Was Terry Cole Whitaker involved in that?
No, Terry's not in that one. Marianne Williamson is in that one. And there's a lot of known figures and some unknown figures, but who've all had major impacts in the world. And once you see them in the film, you recognize who they are and what their background is.
Absolutely. And what was your part in that film, Dr. Harry?
I was one of the people that Sean encounters to ask questions on the subject of happiness.
And on the subject of happiness, the question that was directed at you, do you want us to wait to see the movie to tell us what the question was?
Well, there's where sort of the magic of Hollywood comes in, because I'm sure at the time I answered earnestly with what I thought was the highest level of my perception.
Mm-hmm.
However, we shot that a little while ago, and I don't remember what I said.
Oh, well, there you go. That explains it. And you know what's funny is, I don't know if it's true for you, but for me, when I'm giving talks and when I'm in the moment and spirit is moving through me, it's very hard to remember what I said after it's done.
Yes, that is true. And sometimes, we go back and learn. You know, the expression is that we teach that which we most need to learn.
Yeah.
And if a teacher is paying attention and taking themselves out to the edge, very often things beyond them, beyond the personality, will come through.
And you find
we learn a lot by the replays of those things ourselves.
Oh, absolutely. And every time I listen to an archive of this radio show, I'm just like, wow, that just completely was nothing but spirit. And you can tell, and that's why the listeners love BBS Radio, because if it's not mainstream, it's on BBS Radio.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and recently you did some wonderful work on at Spirit Works on the topic of the 12 steps.
Yes.
And I'm finding, as someone who's writing a book about Hollywood and how to really find the person you've always been looking for, which is yourself, that the 12 steps, the way you brought them about and brought them into play, are a wonderful, wonderful idea. Actually, as I listened to you the Sundays that you were making this your message, I was thinking how marvelous it would be if that would be a book.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I think that work is so important. I mean, basically what we looked at is, as many people are aware, the 12-step program has been the only really successful recovery program that has emerged in the human condition.
Right.
And the reason that emerges is because the 12-step program is a setup for spiritual experience. It is always spiritual experience that causes healing.
Absolutely.
And so what we did was, does one need to be addicted or have an addiction in order to move into those 12 steps? And the answer is no, because the addiction that we have as a humanity fallen into is the addiction to problems. And we go living in a problem to solving a problem to creating more problems to living in more problems, and that addiction is basically wearing everybody down.
Yeah.
And at some point, there requires our soul is calling forth a life that is beyond simply living a life in problems.
And don't you find that what we call problems, I like to refer to everything as a life experience, but you know, we're conditioned to call them problems because we're not all aware that everything that comes into our life is here to teach us. That don't you find that the problem is the thing that came to get a person conscious?
I think yes, in the very highest sense. When we go through the stuff that happens in our lives, as you know, we could ask the question: if any one of us looks at our life and says, "Well, let's see, my greatest growth has always come from things going smoothly, easily, comfortably, and gracefully." I think most of us look at our lives and see that the biggest growth and the biggest change in our consciousness or our perspective usually came through meeting a challenge.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't mean that we want to invite challenges or that when we're in them they feel good. And this is part of the story. Is there is a life possible, and it is only based in an awareness of higher authority.
Yes.
There is a life possible that is not a life from problem to problem. In fact, that's why Joseph Campbell, the great teacher of myths, suggested when he was asked in his series that was on PBS to Bill Moyers, the moderator, Bill Moyers, who has quite an amazing awareness in his own right, Bill Moyers says, well, then what is the biggest challenge in the human condition? And Dr. Campbell says, the biggest challenge in the human condition is to learn to tolerate our bliss. To really know how to go from one deep love and experience of union with the universe into the next experience of deep love and communion. And, you know, most of us as human beings are not living there yet.
Right. And you know, that's a very good point you make. And I heard you say that one Sunday at Spirit Works. You know, it's just really what's going on with people is they're not able to tolerate their bliss. And as spiritual beings on a human path, trying to become a person, it's absolute fact that because spirit is bliss and God is bliss, God essence is bliss, correct?
Yes.
That we are resisting our bliss, and that's when we get off of our path, and that's when the problems happen. And, you know, when you look at it that way, you kind of scratch your head and say, well, why would I do that?
Yeah, right. Well, I think many of us are the opening chapter of my book, It's So Easy When You Know How, the opening chapter is called Graduating from the 2x4 School.
Hitting yourself in the head.
Yeah, right.
Right.
You know, once we get hit enough, we finally say there must be a different way. And then again, that goes back to the step one of the 12-step program is I find my life unmanageable, and I made a decision to turn my life and my will over to God.
Yeah.
And again, if we go further with that, there's a logical sequence within those 12 steps, which to me seems very organic. Now, if you are someone who is recovering from an addiction, then it takes a while to get yourself free enough to see the logical next step. But the logical next step is, if you're going to turn your will and life over to God as you understand it, the logical next step is to get a deeper understanding of what this spirit is, what this God is that you're surrendering to.
Yes.
And that becomes the opening of your conscious awareness in terms of walking a spiritual path.
And right.
Again, you look within the context of the AA programs, and we certainly are in support of those programs wherever they are. We have several here actually in Spirit Works Center. But the point is that walk is a spiritual walk, and there are many people in those programs who don't identify with any particular church, temple, or synagogue, and yet they're immerse themselves in the spiritual experience through their recovery.
Yes, and their recovery becomes their religion in a sense, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a beautiful thing, and because there is a spiritual solution to every single problem, it makes perfect sense that the 12-step program would be so successful because it is on spiritual principles, even though it is not married to any particular organized religion or mindset. It's just the mindset of spirituality itself.
Right, right. Well, you know, this is part of what we call the New Age, and you know, or the newest openings in thought. You know, what is happening in many, many souls is a deep rooted understanding of their interconnectedness to the whole universe. And as that begins to unfold, then we look at the paradoxes in our world, and it begins to ask questions of our soul, we get opened into a spiritual path however we get there, and then once we open ourselves into the idea of only one, one life, one power, one intelligence, one love, one creativity, when we really open ourselves up into the idea of only one, then a lot of the old paradigms and structures get changed in our lives. That's part of what's referred to in the Gospels as being transformed by the renewing of our lives.
Right, and would you agree that one of the reasons, at least, why people end up having these addictions and tuning out and desensitizing themselves and numbing out is because they feel separated from everyone else? and they're trying to numb that feeling of separateness.
Yes.
And once they learn that we are all one and there is no separateness and we are all connected, it's divine unity, that's when the healing begins. Is that correct?
If we look at a substance abuse issue, for example,
yes.
what happens is there is a sense of separation, there's a sense of aloneness we then think that through the drug, the alcohol, whatever it is, that we feel better. Then of course, I think the expression goes like this: you know, first the man takes the drink, then the drink takes the drink, and then the drink takes the man.
Oh, I haven't heard that before.
And, you know, that we go through that process trying to fill something with a substance that won't fill it, and that's where addictions come from.
Right. And what we're really looking for is ourselves, and the love of self and the self-love is what will fill us up, and the loving the self is starting to walk the spiritual path, because we are God essence and born in the image and likeness of our Creator, which means we are walking, you know, representations of God. And when people are disconnected from that, they feel lost.
That's right.
So what would you say about, I mean, I would really love to, being that, and I just want to say to our listeners, if I could just interject this, Dr. Harry, is Sean Mulvihill was supposed to be on this call to talk about the serious business of happiness, but I would imagine he's so happy he forgot to put his phone on the hook. And he's newly in love with someone. He met a young lady in Utah while he was doing musical theater this summer, and I met with Sean, and actually he's my client now. As an actor, and we're going to see what we can get him film and TV-wise. And I said, Sean, you're going to do a lot of growing up this summer in Utah doing this musical theater. Mm-hmm. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you'll find out. There are many, many lessons that you are called there to learn and many, many things you are called there to teach. And last report I got from him about how he was doing is he said, well, your prediction that I do a lot of growing up while I was here was absolutely accurate and correct. There were many, many challenges, many, many lessons, and I met the woman I want to marry in 2 years. So that was just thrilling, and I love that he said, the woman I want to marry in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
That's very sensible.
You know, right.
you want to just give it some time to gestate, but I haven't heard him say anything like that before, you know, that he was even remotely close to that kind of feeling about anyone. So that's a lot of growth, and that's a lot of maturity. But Sean was supposed to be on the call. And Don, if you're listening, if you want to try to call Sean one more time and see if we can get him in on the call, because I did let him know his line was busy, then that would be just a great thing. But if we cannot, then we've got plenty of marvelous subject matter to cover with Dr. Harry Morgan Moses, who, in my opinion, is a living luminary. And we're very fortunate to have him as our guest this evening, and have just spirit move through whatever it is we're supposed to be saying to the listeners, and whatever it is they need to hear. I know that they will receive that. And I wanted to now get back on the topic, if we're not going to have Sean on the call. Don, are you there?
I don't know where Don is.
Hello? Is
this
Kate?
Don, would you like to try to call Sean Mulvihill one more time?
I'm here. I'm on the line, Kate.
Oh, where have you been?
That's Sean.
Have you been here the whole time?
I just picked it up.
Oh, well, did you get the email that your line was busy?
No, I didn't. I just got home. We're started at 8:55 my time, right?
I don't know, but you're on the air right now, kiddo. Nice to see you.
Oh, cool.
Yes.
Okay.
And we got Dr. Harry here.
One second.
Hiya, Sean. How are you?
I'm here. Okay. Now I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I can barely hear you guys.
Okay. We'll all speak up for you. Where are you right now, Sean?
I'm in Weldon Spring, Missouri. It's a suburb of St. Louis.
Right.
And I'm at my parents' house.
Well, say hello from us.
Oh.
So I was just telling our listeners that you were probably so seriously happy that you forgot to put your phone on the hook.
Well, you know, my mom was just on the phone with a friend of hers, and they don't have call waiting.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Okay, well, that explains it. Well, here we all are. And what we were just talking about is I was telling Dr. Harry and the listeners how you and I had a meeting before you went away to do the musical theater, and how I said that you were going to have a lot of challenges and do a lot of growing and learn a lot of lessons, and that you had contacted me and told me that that is indeed what happened for you.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
And
that you have,
thank you for that reading,
special...
by the way. That was very... It was somewhat ominous, though. I thought maybe... I was kind of scared when you said that.
Oh, really?
It's like I was scared to grow.
You know, it is confronting. Growing up is confronting, which is why many people avoid it.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage, so I want to acknowledge you for just embracing it and really surrendering and accepting to the unknown and embracing uncertainty and, you know, just enjoying mystery school is really what gets you to that next place that you're meant to be, and that way you don't miss your turnoff.
Yeah.
To your destination, as
yeah.
one way to put it. So what I was going to, and if I could bookmark this, Dr. Harry, I was going to just have you run through the 12 steps and just say one thing that would be different from what a typical 12-step principle might sound like to our listeners, because the way you present it is so wonderfully unique, I feel. It's unlike anything I had heard before. You just have a way of speaking that penetrates any kind of barriers, and even if no one had any understanding of the concept of 12 steps, you would just make it so understandable that anybody could get it, and you just have that gift.
And
I wanted to, before we're finished with the call, if we could bookmark that thought and have you just run through the 12 steps and whatever is in your mind about that, and whatever just comes, I know you're going to say it because that's spirit, and just hold on to that thought. And meanwhile, I would like to get back to the film, The Serious Business of Happiness. So, Sean, Dr. Harry told us a little bit about it, and being that you are the co-writer, correct?
Yeah, co-writer. Mm-hmm.
And the star.
I conducted all the interviews. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Would you like to tell us how you got that idea of doing a film like that? I mean, how old are you? You can tell us.
Okay.
How young
are
you?
Safe place. I'm 26. I just turned 26 in August.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes, but that's quite a young man to be doing such lofty things and to be, you know, have such a purpose that you have and a hero's heart that you have at such a young age. You know, I'm just extremely excited for your future. So, So what was it that called you to do this?
Well, it's interesting. I read a book called The Power of Now.
Oh, great.
And
who wrote that?
Eckhart Tolle.
Yes, he did.
And it sort of put words to what I had been feeling since a very early age about spirit. And, you know, I never really understood how to put into words how I felt about life. And suddenly I read this book, and it really opened me up, and it helped me to even understand my Christian upbringing, you know, a lot more of what Jesus meant in these, you know, sort of cryptic parables, you know, and they're interpreted usually quite literally by people.
Yeah.
And the way that he interpreted them, it actually made some sense to my spirit. You know, it just spoke to me. This was truth. I knew this was truth. And so I wondered why then more people weren't discovering this, or if they were, why didn't I know about it? And so I started to look for other people who had experienced this truth, just so I could talk about it, so I knew it wasn't a dream, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I stumbled on people like Dr. Harry Morgan Moses, you know, and just to go and sit with them for a day and talk would have been great, but then to put the camera on it and, you know, sort of make a little movie out of it seemed even a better idea, because that's what I was into at the time as an actor, you know, and my career wasn't really, you know, exactly hopping. So I thought, well, shoot, man, I can make a little movie out of this, and I'll just make a documentary film about happiness, or, you know, the pursuit of spiritual truth, something like that. And that was the genesis for the movie.
Wonderful. And I really loved your story of how you put an ad or your resume in Monster.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that process, would you like to share with us how you got your wonderful partner to help you with this project?
Yes. I was actually soliciting people to give me money to make this movie, and I was hitting up all my friends and family, and my sister's boyfriend at the time said, look, I don't want to give you any money, or I can't give you any money, but I've got a monster.com account, which costs about $400 to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so he said, well, how about I put up, you know, some job listings for you? And I said, great, you know, I need a movie producer who's into the spiritual, the pursuit of spiritual truth. Or, you know, I put something in the ad like, you will know you're the right person for this ad because something, you know, that totally came to me that I didn't really come up with. I didn't really devise the ad. I just thought,
you like pina coladas and
walking on the beach?
Exactly. Exactly. Long walks on the beach.
Hey, listen, it did a hell of a thing for him, didn't it?
Yeah, it sure did.
Must love dogs. And so I put that up there, and I got like 400 responses from all kinds of people, you know.
Amazing.
Like A-list movie directors to, you know, people like Larry Konarski, who I ended up co-writing the project with.
Wonderful. And he's just an amazing person, too. I mean, the combination of you and everyone that you interviewed, I've only seen just a tiny bit of a trailer of that film, but, you know, I cannot wait for it to come out. What is the release date looking like?
Soon and very soon. They actually had a test screening with the new Living Luminaries edition that they've come up with here.
Did you go to that one in Beverly Hills?
I was out of town. I was working.
I wish I'd known about it.
Yeah, and that was a really small release, but they said it played well, and they're just working some kinks out of the DVD. I guess they found out that they spelled a couple people's names wrong on the computer graphics, so they had to go back and, you know, redo a few things. So
mm-hmm.
That's where they're at right now. They're just finishing that process.
Wonderful. So what do you have on the horizon for yourself, Sean, as a young filmmaker, actor, and newly in love person?
Well, actually, that's sort of why I came home here to my parents, was to just sort of relax and figure out what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've got a lot of ideas. I've got another movie I want to make. It's a pretty big undertaking, and so I wanted to sort of sit back on that, and then I'm also just needed a break, you know. I think, you know, that's one thing about the movies, and I think it's one of the hardest things about being in Hollywood is people, once they get their foot in the door, they're scared to leave because they're scared that they'll just be replaced, you know.
Right.
And I feel pretty secure in that the kind of movies I'm going to make are not the kind of ideas that are going to be like snatched up or stolen from me, because I feel mm-hmm. like only I can make them, you know, like
they're
meant for me to do.
Right.
So I feel like just taking my time with the projects that I want to do and making those happen. So that's what I'm sort of...
Are you able to talk a little bit about what you have in mind for your next film, or you know, want to make a declaration here and see if the universe, I mean, well, watch the universe send you support?
Wow. Well, yeah, it's... I'll just say this. It's... It's sort of a biopic about a time. It's a biopic. It's about the late 1960s, when it seemed as if the whole world was going to explode with peace, and how that went and why it didn't work, and, you know, what came out of that, the late 1960s sort of Vietnam War era,
mm-hmm.
Where you had this summer of love, this, you know, what seemed to me like, wow, you know, all kinds of young people just saying, you know, look, love is the most important thing, and it looked really great, and then all those people became lawyers or accountants or something after that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wondered, you know, why did they do that, and why didn't they solve the problem of war and peace?
And why did they back away from it?
Yeah. And so it's about a few characters, some public figures during that time, that I found really interesting.
Wonderful. Well, I'm sure whatever it is going to be phenomenal. So is there anything you want to say about it, of what kind of using this arena, being that it's media that goes to, I mean, there's a huge listening audience for BBS. So is there anything you want to say, like if anybody wants to offer support, you have a website?
I do have a website. My personal website is seanmulvihill.com.
You want to spell that for us?
Yes, S-E-A-N and M is in Mary, U-L, V is in Victor, I-H-I-L-L.com. And that's got a link. You can email me. And, yeah, I'm definitely interested in, you know,
divine
certain creative types to work with me on it.
Wonderful. Well, I feel that that the universe is sort of like the Internet. Nobody knew the Internet was around until somebody discovered the Internet. And, you know, you can type in anything in the Internet, it'll call it up for you, like right now. Just Google anything, and it's there. And the universe is like that, too. You know, you just type in whatever you want to the universe, and it says, at your service, as you wish, and there it is. And the only thing that keeps you from receiving it is lack of faith or disbelief or getting in your own way or not believing in it. So, you know, anything we want to have, do, or be is absolutely at our fingertips on the spiritual path, most definitely, because as Dr. Harry and I were speaking about, you know, how good can you stand your life to be? And the only reason we get off of our path and have problems is because we can't tolerate our bliss. Isn't that right, Dr. Harry?
Yeah, there you go.
And, I mean, imagine. Doesn't that sound just so screwy that we can't tolerate our bliss, and our bliss is what we're searching for, at least appear to be?
Well, that sort of is a natural, you know, question for Sean. Now that you've had the film and you met all these people and you did all this work and you've worked in the editing room and you worked with the script and you did all of this, what are your insights? What did you see?
Yeah.
What have you learned?
Well, I think happiness is an ongoing process. I think for most people it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to have this awakening and suddenly you're at peace all the time. For me, it's been a lot of every time I forget, it's just a sign to remember again and remember better. And so as I've gone through what you might call trials over the last couple of years, you know, career or personal or otherwise, you know, as soon as I got into these negative thought patterns about, my life's not working out, oh, this is horrible, you know, as soon as I realized, look, the only way I can be happy is if I just bring it back to the now, you know, bring it back to that just spacious awareness of my true nature. That's where the goodness lies, and that's where the happiness lies in the present. And I've just been cultivating that and trying to remember that, you know, and every time you forget, it's just, perseverance. Go back in the right direction.
Do you find that every time you forget, universe sends you something to help you remember again?
Yeah, and the amount of pain you get is the amount of resistance you are to what you're being given, you know?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the
better underline that and circle that there. You might have found that might be your keys to the universe right there.
Thank you, Dr. Harry.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. So I want to ask you, Sean, out of all the people you interviewed for the Serious Business of Happiness, and is there a website for that, or is that on your website?
I think there's a link on my website, but that is sbofh.com, SeriousBusinessOfHappiness.com.
S-B-O, say it again.
Yeah, S is in Sean, B is in boy, O, F is in fudge, H is in happiness.com.
Oh, great. Wonderful. And will it be say there for us to find out when it might be released and where?
Yes, there's a little blurb about it, and there's a little flash intro that introduces all of our interviewees. And then there's a spot where you can put your email in, and that will get you on our mailing list, and so you'll know all the news about the movie.
Wonderful. I'm definitely going to do that. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to working with you as a talent manager and getting you into the film and television projects that you feel called to. And as you're doing this next project, do you think you'll have time for acting?
Absolutely. Acting's my enjoyment. I really love, you know, the process from the audition through the performance. And that was actually why this summer was so great for me. I went to the Tuakon Amphitheater in Ivins, Utah, which is in southern Utah, and it's a 2,000-seat outdoor house, and I just had a ball, you know, all summer long, you know, acting, in doing 9 shows a week, and you know, it was just fantastic. So I think acting is the thing I really want to do the most, and if I, you know, any movie that I put on, I'll definitely write myself a little part, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely, and I hope you write Dr. Harry some more.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I want to know, in interviewing Dr. Harry for your film, what did you take away from that experience of Dr. Harry personally? I know that with each person you interviewed, I know that you took, you know, spirit spoke to you and gave you something that you could keep with yourself and become part of your own fabric. What was it about Dr. Harry that, not to put you on the spot, but I'm curious to see what you particularly got from Dr. Harry's participation.
Dr. Harry has kids that are about my age. Actually. So it was really sort of like, you know, he knew exactly what to say to me. He knew what I was going through. And, you know, I just had a blast, you know. He's got a great, beautiful house out in Topanga. So, you know, we got out there early in the morning. And he was just sort of moving into that house at the time. So, you know, we got out there and got the tour. And then we got down to business. And it was just, you know, I think Dr. Harry, of all the people in the movie, had the best two-liners, you know what I mean? Like the sound bites.
Right.
And really, to me, that's all I need a lot of the time, is just a quick reminder, you know. And, you know, he talked a lot about relationships with other people and, you know, sort of the dissatisfaction we have with our circumstances and, you know, and mental resistance and all these things that I've just been talking about now, and they really stuck with me. And, it was great, you know, and I felt like, you know, when I left, he gave me his phone number, and I thought, you know, Dr. Harry's the guy I could call any time, you know, and just shoot the bull, or, you know, ask him a serious question, or, you know, ask him if he wants to go out for a beer or whatever, you know.
Right.
And that's the type of guy he is. So I really appreciated that. He was probably the least assuming guy. You know, you look at Dr. Harry, I mean, no offense, he doesn't look like a spiritual teacher. He looks like a dad, you know.
I
a young dad.
The feathers off is what happened.
Yeah, if the wings fit, wear them. But I get exactly what you're saying, Sean. And do you find for yourself that when you speak to someone, and I know that your film is filled with living luminaries, and I love that term, living luminary, because there just are people who have tuned their frequency to such a high level that just being in their presence raises your vibration. And for me, Dr. Harry is one of those people, Dr. Harry. And the reason I can tell when I'm in the presence of a living luminary largely is because when they speak, you know, it is not them talking. It is spirit moving through them, as them, for them, with them, from them to you. And when spirit speaks, you don't forget it. It's permanent.
There's a story that I often tell around that, Casey, and you'll enjoy this story, Sean. It comes from the movie Amadeus. It was also in the play as well. But the line is, Salieri, who was the music minister in Austria who had all the control and all the power, was envious of Mozart's talent. And Mozart comes into the scene to see Salieri and to play for him this new concerto that he had written. And so he plays it for Salieri and says, Salieri says, how do you create things like that? How do you do that? And Mozart says, well, I really don't do it. I just sort of listen to it, and then I write it down. And then he says, but I do thank the Lord that it's a little bit Mozartish, and then he giggles.
I love that laugh. Yes, but that's what, you know, what do you think, Sean, about that, being you interviewed all these wonderful living luminaries, and I'm also interviewing a large amount of those people myself for the book, The End of the Anonymous Actor. Don't you find that when you're in the presence of a living luminary, whatever they say to you sticks with you?
Yes. Yes, I do.
And I heard that was pretty much what you were saying about Dr. Harry, and that helped me distinguish for myself what living luminary means to me, and there are differences. You know, all of us have that potential because we are God essence, but some people have just made it their mission to saturate themselves with God essence and spirit to the degree that they have completely fine-tuned themselves. Like, there's a movie premiering tonight called Darshan, and it's Amma, and it's the hugging help me, Dr. Harry. You know who that is, right?
Yeah, she's the hugging mystic.
Yes, and they say that she's just, you know, God incarnate, because you look at her and she's just pure God presence. And that's going to be opening at the Lemley. I mean, I just can't say enough that we should see every single spiritual cinema project that is being released and encourage and support all of them that are being made. Here it is. It says, Darshan is a moving and inspirational portrait of the life and work of India's hugging saint, a remarkable woman more commonly known as Amma. The recipient of the Gandhi King Award for Nonviolence in 2002, Amma is recognized around the world for her humanitarian efforts, orphanages, hospices, schools, feeding the poor, elder care homes, disaster relief, and more. And she says, which to date she's given to an estimated 26 million people one hug at a time. And she says her religion is love and service. And she's God's love in human body, is the way she's described. And when you're in that presence, you know it. And, you know, not to embarrass you, Dr. Harry, but, you know, you got it going on. You got God in the house.
You know, it's interesting because in the Eastern philosophies, particularly those things that have come out of the Hindu, is they very often there is no reference to God, because the reason you don't reference God, you reference your guru, is because you can't touch God and you can touch your guru. So you get the direct experience of God through that teacher, through the lineage of those teachers. And that was the whole idea. Now, if you bring the guru out to a Western idea, we use the teachers in order to help us discover ourselves, and that spells G-U-R-U.
Oh, that's cute. I like that.
Of yourself.
G-U-R-U.
Yeah, but it's an interesting, you know, as I say, what does happen, and Sean is, since it's the last time I've seen him, and just hearing about your wonderful summer and doing the shows and all that, and interesting that part of the movie, The Serious Business of Happiness, part of what's going on is Sean's search to find out where his sensuality and sexuality and relationship and all of that fits in to the spiritual quest. And isn't it interesting that after 3 years of this dedicated project and working in and around these ideas and meeting all of these teachers and working with all this film, that when he released all of that and went back, put his attention back on his acting, that here this new door of somebody who fits in his heart opens up. Isn't it interesting that that intention was very well established and was very much present? You see, the intention becomes what we draw forth into our lives.
Yes.
So someone, you know, Sean, as he just shared, is now a few years out of college, and this something within him that began to push him and pull him and bring these questions, this was part of this big transition from being a student to coming into adult life with mm-hmm. all of these questions. And now here, as a young adult, working with these questions and being inside of them is creating, that intention is drawing forth new things in his life and new experiences, and some of the things that are fulfillment of the things that he set out with questions about. Am I speaking the truth there, Sean?
Oh, yes.
Well, I'm thinking about your lovely new lady friend.
Oh, I'm thinking about her quite often.
Love.
Too.
What's that?
Oh, I think about her often.
I mean, you manifested exactly what it was that film was to bring you answers to. Do you get that?
Yeah.
You're demonstrating.
And you know, actually, one of the best things that Marianne Williamson said to me was, I said, you know, I don't understand women. No, I said, I don't understand girls. And she goes, well, your first problem is you're calling them girls. They're women.
Yeah.
And then she says, well, the reason why you don't understand women is because you're not loving them enough.
Hmm.
And that stuck with me because I thought, that's true. I'm always finding things that I don't like about the person that I can't, you know, that are irreconcilable, that I can't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and suddenly when I started to say, look, you know, I can't condemn a person for something that I wouldn't condemn myself for, and I realized that every fault that I thought this other person had, I had. And that was when I realized, wait a second, the only way to actually love a person is to love the whole thing, you know?
Right, and to reconcile those things inside yourself that you're projecting onto other people allows you to have freedom to just love them and love yourself in the process, because when you love someone else, you're loving yourself and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to take a few minutes out of our remaining hour to get back on the topic of the 12 steps, Dr. Harry. Are you ready to deal with that? But first I want to, Spirit's leading me to say something to Sean. Sean, Spirit would like me to let you know that you are also a living luminary. How you like that? How does that feel?
Well, you know, I read in the Course in Miracles that you shouldn't take on a false humility, because that's also ego.
Yes.
And I know that Spirit works through me, and the happier I am is the more that I let that happen.
Yes.
And so the more, you know, the more Sean that's in there, the more unhappy I am.
Yes, and look, you provided a movie, a feature film for the world. You gave globally of yourself. If that's not a living luminary, I don't know what is.
And it was tough, you know. The movie-making process itself was a challenge to the ego, you know.
But you did it anyway, and it helped you to get more in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It was a process. It was school. It was college. You have a PhD, you know, and you're still earning it. You've got lots and lots of wonderful things to continue to do. But I want to recognize you for who you are here publicly for our listeners, and have them seek you out and watch your future, because I am personally very excited for you and happy to be a part of it. And Dr. Harry, you too. As soon as I can find a way to do it, I would like to, watch your growth in film and television in this wonderful communication vehicle that we've been gifted with to let people know good things, and hopefully things will transcend to the point where people are hearing more good things than not so good things. And that's, you know, my mission with Spiritual Hollywood is to use Hollywood as a mighty tool to get the good word out, and that is that we are all God essence and we are all pure love, and once we understand that, we'll stop hurting each other. You know, it might come across as Pollyanna, but you know what? Frankly, Scarlett, I don't give a damn.
Well,
and
you hit the key word there, that is once we understand that. And,
yes,
and
that's all it takes, understanding.
The voices will have to sing it for quite a while, but you know, that's why we're called here.
Absolutely. And you know, both of you are very, very gifted in communication, and that's what's causing the understanding, and you're part of this evolution, ascension, acceleration, and nothing better. What an exciting time to live in.
Mm-hmm.
So before we run out of time, we got like 9 minutes. Dr. Harry, you want to run through the 12 steps as quick as Spirit will let you?
Sure. Just have one question for Sean. Sean, have your parents seen the film?
No.
Oh.
No, they haven't.
Maybe you should grease that pan. You could help the release of the whole film. Once your parents know it's really you, they're going to be amazed.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. Actually, they're sending a DVD here to Missouri, so I should have it. We should be watching it sometime next week.
Great, great, great.
Yeah.
Good. So anyway, as we were speaking of earlier, you know, I brought forth this 12 Steps for All program largely because very much people get confused about what recovery and what the 12 Step program have brought forth. I happen to have my brother has his 22-year cake, and my sister has her 20-year cake, and so I'm really aware of the spirituality that gets brought forth by means of somebody entering into the 12-step program.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought was, well, you know, the essence of that program has to do with surrender and forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And what a wonderful thing if we could see in the context beyond addiction the vitalness of surrender and the power of forgiveness. And so we simply just looked at the 12 steps, as I say, not in the context of being addicted to anything other than the fact that as human beings we have become addicted, as I shared earlier, to problem solving.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes us as we enter into middle age to become tired, to become fatigued, to lose our enthusiasm, to have our dreams dimmed. And that condition has been happening in middle-aged souls for thousands and thousands of years. And of course, now that we are living longer and healthier lives, there is no reason for the lights to be turned down simply because you're middle-aged. In fact, that becomes an opportunity to bring wisdom and depth to life that can serve not only the generations below us, but also it'd be very supportive for generations above us, even in our current generation. So what we see is that there's a real need to be spiritually alive your whole life, not just when you are young and not just when you are old, but literally your whole life through. And that's that path. Someone like John, for example, who is on a conscious journey. You know, there's a line by Oliver Wendell Holmes. The line is, "The mind once expanded will never return to its original dimension." I mean, John has opened the doorway to his growth. That doorway is open, and he has already discovered that it is, in fact, the source of his happiness. And that gift, having been logged in his consciousness at such a dynamic age to be his age and have that logged in, is you know, will serve him for his entire journey.
Absolutely. So the 12 steps are, do you have them right in your head, like the 1 through 12, what they are?
Well, the first one is we admitted we were powerless, and again, what we become is all of our efforts to try to manage and control life haven't worked. And so we begin to see there's got to be another solution. We begin to see that our lives with this kind of fatigue are unmanageable. So we surrender that.
Yeah.
We surrender that which is unmanageable. And that's the first step. And then the second step is that we come to believe in a power greater than ourselves. So if we've been living a life that is unmanageable or in essence insane, we come to the next step, which is to believe there's a power greater than we are, which can restore us to sanity. Well, that's a very hopeful thing to anybody in their lives when they realize that they're exhausted and fatigued and their old methods aren't working anymore. To realize that you're to continue to do the same thing over and over again is and expect a different result is in fact insane.
Yes.
And that there is the possibility that there's a power greater than I am that can restore me to sanity. So those are first two steps. And they're big because what it is an emergence of I would like to live a life in comfort, ease, and grace as opposed to a life in panic, fear, and doubt. I mean, choose one.
Yes.
You know, choose one of those two categories. And then the third step is, which is really where ultimately anyone on the spiritual path must choose in some way to live their life every day, and that's to make the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God.
Yeah.
You know, when we don't know what to do, simply doing the same thing over again harder is not going to solve anything.
Right.
So we need to turn our lives to that which is the source of our life and begin to invite the source of our life, you know,
back
so that we can flow with it instead of continue to fight against it.
Yes, and we have 3 minutes, and I really want to hear all of this. And if we end it, I would like to know, is this on the website where people can...
And you just go to Alcoholics Anonymous, the 12 steps, but they have to...
No, I mean the actual messages you gave around the 12 steps.
They are available at spiritworkcenter.com.
And are they in archive?
I don't know how many of them are archived. I haven't looked, but they are available in a series on CD, and they might be there in the archive. I don't know.
And if people wanted to contact Spirit Works, could they purchase the CD and have it mailed to them?
Absolutely.
I would recommend everybody do that. You will not be disappointed. Anything Dr. Harry says is absolutely anointed and inspirational and permanent Transformation will be what you get out of that, and I know if you feel drawn to order any of those CDs, there's a reason for it and there's an answer for you in those CDs. And again, that website is
www.spiritworkscenter.com.
Yes, and the phone number there, if you need it, if you need to call to find out times for the services, or if you're not able to get on the website for whatever reason, is 818-848-4158, and they're 260 North Path Avenue in Burbank, 91505 in California. Please come say hi. Please come visit. I see that church filled to overflowing with a waiting list, and that's the way I want to see it. And I know it's possible. It's the best place I've ever found for spiritual growth in quantum leaps as fast as I can stand it. And I say, bring it on. So I would love to thank again Dr. Harry Morgan Moses and Sean Mulvihill for being my esteemed guest this evening on Spiritual Hollywood. This is Kate Romero. My website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces, if you'd like to give a visit and see what's going on these days in the talent management, conscious talent management arena. And I invite everybody to see every consciousness-raising film you can. Conversations with God just opened. It's phenomenal, amazing. Peaceful Warrior, The Secret, A Serious Business of Happiness, most definitely, when that comes out. And I wish everyone an absolutely fabulous week. Thank you for joining us. And next week we will be back again with some more marvelous, wonderful, insightful, inspirational guests. Thank you, Dr. Harry. Thank you, Sean. Much, much love to you both. And I'm sure I'll be speaking to you very soon.
Good to be with you. Thanks a million.
You're welcome. You. Bye-bye, Sean.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.